Well, it is really good to celebrate and to give thanks to God. And if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 145 as we tie some of our thoughts together and focus really on God. And He's the reason why we celebrate. He's the reason why we're here. He's the reason why we have home groups, why we have outreaches. He's the reason why we have those who serve here in the life of the church. And we want to center our thoughts around Him, and then we'll go to the table. And really, Psalm 145 is like a biography of God. It sums up some of the crucial characteristics of who God is. And David's the author of the psalm, and he's bursting forth in praise for who God is. And he's full of us, man after God's own heart. And he's also an incredibly gifted poet as well. And the psalm that we're going to read in the original Hebrew, the first letter of every line was a letter from the Hebrew alphabet, a real great poem. So it's really an A to Z of why we should give praise and thanks to God. And it begins in verse 1 where he says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. And even just that first line is wonderful. It's so personal. David had this real intimate relationship with the great God. He said, my God. And says, the King. He doesn't say, my God, our King. He says, the King. Really implying that God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there was no other like him. And there was no other who would ever come that would be like him either. So this psalm is all about David's God. My God, the King. So how does David respond to this God? Well, first 1 and 2 says 3 times, I will praise you, I will praise you, I will praise you. And then forever and ever. So David's heart is bubbling over here with thanks to God. Often we can read biographies of great humans who have lived. And we enjoy finding out some of their achievements, some of their background, some of their works as well, and who they were able to influence in their life. And we often say, oh, that was a great biography of a really great character. Maybe it was Winston Churchill, or a footballer, or a politician, or an actor, or a great Christian as well. And we read this biographies and go, well, they were a great person. Well, David comes and he describes God in the first, or in verses 3 to 6, as great. He says in verse 3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Here, he's really saying there is no end to the greatness of God. You cannot get to the bottom of where God's greatness is. You cannot get your arms around the greatness of God, or you cannot get your head around it either. Nobody can totally take it all in. That's how amazing God is. Totally unlimited. And echoes of Psalm 8:1, where the psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. David knew that God was great and he was not. Well, why was God so great? Well, verses 4 to 6 tell us of his great works. He says, one generation will commend your works to another and tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. I will tell the power of your awesome works and proclaim your great deeds here. Some of you here are observant will have seen that there's 4 ways that the works are described there. And there, the everyday works of preparation and manufacturing, and then it goes on to the mighty works of the God, the strong works, the great achievements of God, and then it goes on to the wonderful works as well. And those are the unusual or the miraculous works of God, and then the awesome works, and those are the terrifying works of God. And it's David, I'm sure, recounted God's actions throughout the history of the nation of Israel. He's going, that's amazing what he was able to do whenever the Israelites were captured in Egypt and the 10 plagues in Israel, and then he led them out of Egypt and they opened up the Red Sea and they led the Israelites through. That was a miraculous work. And then as they were wandering, there was manna in the desert. God provided, and then he gave them victory in some of the wars which they were involved in, and he took them to their promised land. As David reflected on the history of Israel, he was in awe of how great and how glorious God was. So he wanted there in verse 5 to meditate on his works and then to proclaim it. He wanted to think about God's great works and to murmur them over. This word meditation isn't like meditation in our culture of quiet contemplation and emptying your head. This is filling your head with the greatness of God and singing it and allowing it to rise up within you. And then in verse 6, he just wanted to proclaim it to whoever would listen, because he knew this was worth shouting about. And as a fellowship here, as we look back on the last year and as we consider who God is as well, it's great that we have such a great God. And to think about our God and our quiet times at home, in our home groups, in church services, and then to allow that to overflow into our words so that others would hear of the greatness of God. So that's the greatness of God. He then goes on and says, well, he isn't just great, he's also good. And that takes us on to verse 7, the goodness of God. He says, they will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. There are some figures in world history who were great leaders, but they weren't good. They were very bad and evil. People like Adolf Hitler was a great leader, but he was a terrible person. But whenever it comes to God, he is not only great and powerful and wonderful, he's also good. And David wanted to celebrate the fact that God was good. So in verse 7 he says that we'll celebrate that abundant, that overflowing goodness again, and that he would joyfully sing of the righteousness. These words, if you can see them, of joyfully sing, have that feeling of bubbling over or bursting forth. Sort of like when you have a bottle of Coke and you shake it really hard and you go and open it and it just bubbles forth, it bursts forth and goes everywhere. David was like this in his inner heart as he thought about God. His heart was bursting forth, it was bubbling up as he considered the greatness and the goodness of God. It came out in this joyful singing and in his life as well. And he goes on in verses 8 to 10 here to describe the goodness of God in more detail. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. And here, David's talking about the common grace of God to all. And this word, all, is going to appear 17 times before the end of the chapter. And God is gracious to all. He's given everyone life and breath. He's given everyone in creation to enjoy. Everyone is made in his image. And he is slow to anger and he is rich in love. These verses echo Exodus 34, whenever God passed behind Moses, and whenever he revealed himself to him, he said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Here, David is declaring how God has revealed himself to Moses and to the Israelites and to the whole world. See, it's Spurgeon has said, the goodness of the living God should not be buried in the cemetery of silence or in the grave of ingratitude. And that's why we hold services like this evening, to give thanks to God and declare His greatness here in our local fellowship and throughout the world, and as we look back in history as well. So God is great, God is good, but He's also glorious as well, as we see that in verses 11 to 13. And these verses are really the center piece of the psalm, physically and thematically. And they say, "They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so all men would know of your mighty acts, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." Four times in these three verses, David talks about the kingdom of God and how it endures through all generations, how it's glorious overall, how it is everlasting. David knew that his kingdom, his rule would not last forever. He knew that there was limitations on it. He knew that as other nations would rise and fall, there would be limitations on that as well. But whenever he considered God and his kingdom, he knew that this would be the kingdom that would last throughout all generations. And that's, I think, why he began in the first one. He said, "My God, the King." And then here at the centerpiece is saying, "Here's the King of the kingdom." And human rulers and earthly kingdoms will rise and fall. But as one commentator has said, God's kingdom is without beginning, without bound, without break, and without end. And on Thursday, I wrote these words under the heading of application. First, today, how assuring is it that our God is the King? Wars and rumors of wars and political instability, God is still on the throne. And then to hear what has happened in London over these days, isn't it good that we can come to our glorious God, my God, our God, the King? The psalm then finishes off in verses 13 to 20, focusing really on the grace of God as well. How God is great, how He is good, how He is glorious, but He isn't distant from His people. He isn't uninterested in this. Listen to how He acts towards His people here in these final verses. It says, "The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. He upholds all who fall. He lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, you give them their food at proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, loving toward all He has made. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but the wicked He will destroy." Here we see God's generous care for those in His kingdom. He supports, He lifts up, He gives food, He opens His hand, He satisfies, He's watching over, He's near, and He fulfills our every desire. And I believe David knew this personally for him, and he wanted others to revel in this glory as well. If we had longer, we would look at some of these actions of God towards us. But we're going to keep moving just with this thought that God is near and He's ready to hear our prayer. Whatever's gone on in the last year and whatever is to come in this year ahead, God is watching over you. God cares for you, and God is ready to hear if you call out to Him. If you're unsatisfied with life, He is ready to satisfy. And verse 20 comes with a warning as well. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. God is also a God of justice. And that's something that we can celebrate in as well. As evil comes and goes, we know that God will indeed bring justice to all. And we can give Him thanks for that. In verse 21, as David concludes this psalm, he says, "My mouth will
speaking praise of the Lord. So again, he finishes with a person. No, I'm going to tell others about the greatness of God. And then he encourages every creature. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And that's the invitation to us this evening. As we reflect on the last year here at Hamilton Road and in our own lives, to praise the holy name of God forever and ever. And we'll encourage you to go on doing that. And as we do that together, let's just take a few moments to pray. Father God, we thank you for all the works that you have done here in our fellowship in the last year. Father, thank you for your greatness, your goodness, your glory, and your grace that so freely abounds on us. And Father, as we come to your table, Father, would you help us to see all those things in Christ? It's in his name that we pray. Amen.